let's turn it over to all you out there. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Terrific game for the Blue Jays. They beat the Yankees. We'll take your calls to the bottom of the hour across the country. We will extend the Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, all the way till 11 o'clock Eastern. We begin with Ian in Richmond Hill. Ian's listening on our flagship station. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Thanks, Mike. How are you tonight?
I am not unwell. How are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to get your opinion on Todd Redman. He's been pitching well. I think he could have two or three more wins if the Jays gave him more run support. Where do you think he fits into the rotation next year?
You know what? It's interesting because Todd Redman's one of the guys I'm writing about on my column on Sportsnet.ca tonight. I've been very impressed by Todd Redman, but the point I made to Dirk, and Dirk talked about it again off the end of the broadcast there, what stood out to me is the fact that he's not getting deep into games. He's had 9 starts as a Blue Jay. 2 of them have been just terrible. The rest of them have been really, really good. And in those starts, he's got an ERA of 2.87. He's got a whip of 1.06. They're great, but 7 starts, 37 and two-thirds innings, right? So we're talking about barely more than 5 1/3 innings per start. I like what Todd Redman has done, and I think he's definitely in the picture for next year, but I think he's more in the picture as that Carlos Villanueva-type guy than as a starter.
I can see that. Like, I'm almost thinking, too, like, are we looking at another Ismael Rogers where he started off hot and then he's kind of gone south since, or...
I don't think. Well, Esmiel kind of went south, and he's starting to come back north. But this is, you know, this isn't what we've seen out of Redmond. He had a terrible start last time out, and he's rebounded with a great start tonight. 2 or 3 of his last 4 starts have been fantastic. So you never know. He's been around for a long time. You never know if it's an illusion or not. First time through the league, that sort of thing. But you have to be very, very happy with what he's done so far.
Great. Hey, shaking my call, Mike.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Billy in Houston. Billy's listening on Sportsnet590.ca, and I'm just assuming you became a Blue Jays fan this weekend out of sympathy, watching them get hammered twice by the Astros?
No, man, I've been a Blue Jays fan for about 10 years in Texas, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, if we get good starting pitching like we did tonight, and if the young guys can score, I think this can be a really good team.
I think this could be a really good team, too. This is, you know, there's a reason that a lot of people picked this team to be in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, like the young guys who just need to come through, get the hitting. Like, we have lots of young guys like Gomes. I like seeing him hit and play second base out there. He looks like an everyday second baseman to me, but it's a small sample, you know?
Right. I agree with you. I think that, you know, the minor league numbers, when you look at Ryan Gomes' numbers in the minor leagues, are really not that impressive. Offensively, he has done everything that you could want him to do to this point in 6 games, but it's 6 games, and you know, you're talking about someone who's basically been Meister Asturias in the minors, and not the 2013 Meister Asturias, but what Meister Asturias has been for his whole career. He's done that in the minors. Does that translate in the major leagues? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but so far, can't say anything bad about Goins. He's been terrific. Thank you for the call, Billy. I appreciate it. I don't want to try to talk people down on Goins. I don't want you to not be excited about Goins. I don't want to be the cold water, but just, you know, remember how much first impressions matter. They don't. Remember the first impression you had of Colby Rasmus, the first impression of Brett Laurie this year, the first impression of Edwin Encarnacion, and, on the other side, the first impression of Eric Thames. And the stopwatch is on the floor for some reason. You know, those first impressions turned out to be illusions, bad or good. And this is 6 games. I spent a lot of the early part of the season telling people that, you know, these guys aren't that bad. Ryan Goins isn't this good. Someone asked me on Twitter earlier today, earlier tonight, if he keeps it up, is Ryan Goins a candidate to be the starting second baseman for the Blue Jays next season? And my answer was, if he keeps it up, he's going to the Hall of Fame. So far we've enjoyed it a lot. But, you know, remember, this guy in the minor leagues has a career OPS of 706. But so far, you know what? You can stick that in the ninth spot in this lineup, play second base the way he has, and you'll be just fine. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. The Jays beat the Yankees 7-2. We continue with your phone calls. And up next is Daniel in Richmond, B.C., listening on his Sirius satellite radio. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, I'm not sure if it's just me, but I don't think it's been a long time since I've been so into the Blue Jays as this year. I haven't missed a game all year. Doesn't matter whether it's radio or TV, I try to catch them. And there's just something about this.
Well, it does matter if it's radio or TV, though, Daniel, doesn't it?
Oh, of course.
It's radio, yeah, course. Right?
It's radio. It's
Thank
radio.
You.
But point is, I haven't missed a game this year, and I think there's just something about that. You just never know what's going to happen in any given game this year. And the games that they've lost, it just seems they've been some really heartbreaking losses this year. But for the most part, this team, I think they're closer now than they've been in a long time. And I don't know what's going to push them over the edge into that win column where they start to get on some real serious rallies. But I just don't think they're that far away from being a real contending team. That's just my take on it.
I agree with you. Good call.
Yeah. All
so
right.
Let me ask you something, though, Daniel, because I'm interested in what you have to say on the subject, because you talked about this is the year, having been the year that you can't stop watching. Where there are a lot of people, for them, this is the year where they haven't been able to watch because the team has underperformed so much. What's kept you around?
Well, I just think you just see the potential. You just know these guys have it in them to be a real contender this year. And I just want to watch that whole process unfold because I guess I could start tuning in when they're, you know, first or second in the American League East and on their way into the playoffs. But I think it's something that I want to see how this team, and I actually really care about these guys this year, like the players that are on that team. It just seemed like some guys that they're just an interesting, very. There's something about these guys that you kind of care about them. You want to see them do well, I guess. A lot of these guys.
Nice. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Nice to hear stuff like that. I haven't gotten that a lot this season on the Blue Jays Talk. The Jays take down the Yankees. 7-2 is your final score. We are waiting on the John Gibbons audio. Apparently John Gibbons is still in a meeting. And not sure with who or what about, but we will find out soon. He's still going to be the Blue Jays manager tomorrow. It has nothing to do with that. We are going east. Brian is in Porter's Lake, Nova Scotia, listening on News 95.7. Brian, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you, Mike. Just a quick comment on management. There's been some naysayers there in the last little bit, and I'm a diehard Blue Jay fan, and as far as I'm concerned, I think Antropoulos said that last year that this was a 3-year plan, and I believe in that. And
well, he didn't say it in the sense that it was going to take them 3 years to get good. He meant that he was going to have this core group here for 3 years, so it should be 3 years of winning baseball.
Okay. It's everyone can have a bad year, and I think a lot of the guys had a bad year all at once. Like, I don't think there's a whole lot of moves needed to be made over the offseason. I think they have a good core right now, and I'm just wondering what you're thinking of that.
As far as the core is concerned?
Yes.
I think the core is quite good. I think that tweaks can be made. I don't think you need to overhaul the whole thing. I mean, there are people who talk about trading Jose Bautista or Edwin Encarnacion. Last night we had a guy call in and say trade Jose Reyes. I don't think you need to do any of that stuff. I mean, I'm all for trading anybody if it'll make the team better, but it's awfully hard to make the team better if you trade any of those three guys.
I totally agree with that.
Right. I think there are positions at which they could get better. Left field, certainly. Second base, certainly. Behind the plate. And on the mound. The starting rotation has been abysmal this year. But I expect, I think you can go into next year with Dickey, Morrow, Burley, Hutchison, and Drabek and be better immediately than you are right now. I think they're still going to go out and get another arm or two. But I have a feeling the starting pitching next year is going to be just fine.
Yeah, and so do I, Mike, and I agree exactly what you say right there. So I'm glad you expressed that feeling, and you're thinking very close to what I'm thinking as well. So I thank you.
There you go. A happy Blue Jays talk so far tonight, because the Jays beat the Yankees 7-2. They win a series against New York for the first time this year. They are 3-13 against the Yankees with three games left to play, September 17th, 18th, and 19th here at Rogers Center. Phone lines are open. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Jay is in Kingston listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Jay.
How are you, Mike?
I'm all right. Thank you, Jay. How are you?
Well, you're not in Kingston, that's what. But that's okay.
Kingston's a lovely place.
I know. You would have been better if you were in Kingston.
Oh, all right. No, I'm pretty good right where I am, actually.
All right. Well, I have something here. I just did some homework, Mike, and I was looking at R.A. Dickey.
I like that you're doing homework, by the way.
Yeah. Well, he's had 28 starts for us this year.
Yep.
And out of those 28 starts, 12 of the starts, he's given up 4 runs or more.
Uh-huh.
I was doing a little comparison. Obviously, Todd Redmond hasn't had 28 starts.
No, he's had 9.
Todd Redmond, yeah. So he's had, well, I counted 10, I guess, if you include today. And out of all those starts, he's had one bad start where he's given up more than 3 runs. And that was that last start, obviously, right?
Right, but he's had 2 starts where he didn't get out of the 4th inning.
Yeah.
That kind of matters, too, right?
He didn't help us lose the game. But, you know, I mean, like, at
like, give up 3 runs in 4 innings, that's pretty bad.
No, I understand, but if he didn't have one of those R.A. Dickey innings where R.A. Dickey, you know, like especially in April and May, where he would give up like 4 or 5 runs in one inning.
True.
You know what I mean?
Except like, for the 2 crappy starts, yes.
What I was trying to say is I just don't think R.A. Dickey, like, is it possible that maybe we could get a lot of value if we tried to trade R.A. Dickey in the offseason, maybe send him back to the National League or to a ballpark where it's a little, like, it's less conducive to fly balls and it's a little bigger, and maybe we can get a left fielder and you know, keep Todd Redmond, give him a chance next year. Ryan Goins has done a pretty good job so far. Obviously, you know, it's a small sample size. But rather than just trying to go out and get, like, you know, some stud free agents like we tried to get, like, Josh Johnson, and, you know, obviously we get Mark Burley's worked out for us. Yeah, he was struggling in the beginning, but he's done a good job for us. I was just looking at his salary, by the way. He's making $12 million this year. A lot of money.
He's making $18 next year.
Wow.
He's actually making $11 million. To your point, and by the way,
yeah,
this is Redmond's. This was Redmond's 9th start this year. I don't know where you got the other one, but your your other numbers are right. No. Todd Redmond is not as good as R.A. Dickey.
No, no, I'm not saying he's as good as.
But R.A. Dickey's value too. I mean, is not nearly as high now as it was last winter when the Blue Jays gave up 2 really, really good prospects to get him, one of whom was very close to Major League ready.
Yeah, let's say he has a few good starts. Like, let's say he pitches well down the stretch. He's still going to get, what, 5 or 6, 7 more starts, right?
Yeah,
let's say he pitches
6,
better. Maybe his value might go up, right? And you know how it is. Like, we took a chance on Josh Johnson. I think the world would have taken a chance on this guy in a contract year. Nobody expected what happened with Josh Johnson.
Right.
Just like how we took a chance on Josh Johnson.
Right.
Even if R.A. Dickey had one bad year, there might be someone like the Pittsburgh Pirates or, you know, somebody that's really close to winning, or even Oakland maybe. Well, Oakland wouldn't because of the salary problem, but, I mean, like one of those type of teams, you know, maybe St. Louis or, you know.
Yeah,
one of those teams
but why would you trade him? First of all, why would you trade him off that bad year? And when, you know, it's going to wind up being an okay year, I think, when all is said and done for R.A. Dickey. Yeah. But
I don't know, Mike. I don't know about you, but, you know, every time R.A. Dickey's pitched this year,
yeah,
I just like, especially at Rogers Center, it just seems like to me, it's not a good fit for him. He's given up, obviously, a lot of home runs this year. And if you look at his years in the past, like when he was with the Mets, you know, you're pitching in Citi Field. I mean,
yep.
It's not easy to hit a home run there. Let's just be honest. I mean, like,
I think the operative word is seemed. Honestly, you've forgotten about a lot of very good starts, including the one Tuesday night where he gave up one earned run to the Yankees and pitched into the seventh inning. But beyond that, I mean, if you're nervous when R.A. Dickey pitches, it's fine. People, whatever. Nothing I can tell you about that. But beyond that, you gave up Travis d'Arnaud and Noah Syndergaard for him last offseason. The return this offseason will be nowhere close to that if you're trading R.A. Dickey now. So that alone is reason enough not to do it. You don't make a lot of good deals when you trade people at a low point in their value. I appreciate the call. We got to get to the update, and then we got to say goodbye to the country, but we are going to stay on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Blue Jays talk continues. It is the Home Hardware. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network.
We go where they go. Come along for the ride. Follow the Blue Jays right here all year long on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Pitch lined up the gap, deep left center field. Long one, Alfonso Soriano. It's over his head, off the wall, base hit. Golan scores. Here comes Lind on his way to the plate. There's no relay. He scores standing up on a two-run double by Brett Laurie. The Blue Jays are in flight here in the first, leading the Yankees 2-0.
Big two-out hit for Brett Laurie in the bottom of the first inning as the Blue Jays take advantage of an opportunity to score. Then Hiroki Kuroda drills Rajay Davis with the next pitch, and J.P. Arencibia strikes out looking, but Chris Stewart can't handle the pitch, a fastball that was a strike called. It goes to the backstop. J.P. takes off for first. The throw hits him in the back. Two more runs score. Blue Jays get four in the first, two in the second, one in the third. And when's the last time we saw Toronto run out to the 7-0 early lead and hide? The Jays beat the Yankees by a score of 7-2. I'm Mike Wilner. We continue the Blue Jays talk here on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on sportsnet590.ca as well. Lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-660-590. Thomas in Toronto, after a Blue Jays win, a rare visit from you. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, it was a good win tonight. The first win against the Yankees as well was a good win.
The first win against the Yankees?
Yeah, the first
win. Oh, of this series, you mean, was a good win too.
Series.
Gotcha. All right, thank you.
One thing I noticed about the current lineup now without the likes of Bautista and Colby Rasmus is that we're seeing more situational hitting, and that's what I think it's going to take for a good team. That's what I think it takes for the Blue Jays to be a good team, is the situational hitting.
I don't want to ruin your narrative, Thomas, but without Jose Bautista and Colby Rasmus in the lineup, this is a team that got shut out into the ninth inning by the Houston Astros on Sunday.
Okay.
And, you know, they're not a better team without these two guys in the lineup.
Well, I think there's more disciplined hitting. I think there's more, you're looking at more team play. Tonight there was great defense, and I'm not saying it's because of Jose Bautista and Colby Rasmus why this is the case, but I'm seeing more fundamental baseball. I've seen it more in this series, and to that point, the only people I would bring back, I've heard your last callers mention bringing back, you know, almost the whole team and stuff like that. But the only guys I would really bring back here is Reyes, Encarnacion, and Brett Laurie. And those are your core players. And the guys in between right now, Goins, I guess he'll be back in AAA. But those are your core pieces, and those are the guys right now that I've seen, especially Lowry. He's made a huge adjustment. When you talk about, you know, people hated Lowry at the beginning, I don't think people hated Lowry. People were disappointed in the fact that he came into the season and, you know, he was a little bit of a hothead and he wasn't really hitting the ball and stuff like that, or he wasn't really making an adjustment. So I think it's an overstatement to say that, or you know, overreacting to say that people hated Lowry.
I very rarely use the word hate, but
people were mad or negative.
People were calling this program saying that the Blue Jays needed to release him,
needed to get rid of him, that he had no future
in this game. That's what people were calling this program and saying.
Personally, what I heard, and I listen to your program every night. I heard people very intolerant almost with Lowry's past behavior. But anyways, Lowry has made a huge adjustment. I look at his stance now. It's completely different. He's not lower anymore. His hands are in a completely different spot. He's made a complete adjustment, and I think that's what it's going to take. And that's what the Blue Jays have done in this series with the Yankees. They've made adjustments. And I think next year, you bring these three cornerstone pieces back, Encarnacion, Reyes, Lowry, and you build in between these guys. You get rid of the catcher. You know, another thing, too, a lot of guys are, especially the media, they're making a big deal about this pitching. And, yeah, the pitching's bad, but let's not use the pitching as the only crutch. The defense has been absolutely deplorable. You look at Blue Jays being one of the leaders in errors this year. They're up to, like, I think 92, I think it was. I think they're fifth in the league or sixth in the league in errors.
I don't put a lot of stock in that, I have to tell you.
But I really don't.
The Blue Jays have made 92 errors this season. Their opponents in the games they've played have made 90. You know, the error for me, first of all, it's a judgment call on an official score, A. And two, a lot of times a player will get an error on a ball that a poorer defender would never have gotten to, and it'll just get through for a single. I don't think you can use errors as part of your argument.
I think the defense
at second base has been poor this year. I think there's any question about that.
And prior to Lowry, the defense was poor at third base.
That's correct, but you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Behind the plate, the defense has been poor. I mean, there's things that can get these pitchers off the hook. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Alex Anthopoulos comes out yesterday, starts talking about the pitching. That's fine. That's all good. But the defense behind the pitching hasn't been all that great either. We had good pitching from Burle, but the defense hasn't been that great behind these pitchers. So let's give them an even shake here. Both situations, pitching and defense, have been poor and deplorable. And if the pitching improves next year, but the defense doesn't, we're going to look at pitchers that go eight innings, but yet, you know, don't get the result that they're looking for. So, I mean, we got to give the pitchers a little bit of a break here, especially Burley, because he's been really good, and the bullpen has been good, equally as good as well.
Thomas, it's nice to hear you say good things about the Blue Jays. I appreciate the call. And I don't want to pick it apart too much because you're actually saying nice things. But I will say this. The Blue Jays need to improve defensively in left field. They need to improve defensively at second base. But I think that's it. And the starting pitching has to be better. Yes, with better defense, the starting pitching could have been better. But even with the defense the way it was this season, to have the Blue Jays dead last in starting pitchers ERA, which has nothing to do with the errors, other than it makes them throw more pitches and stuff like that, but it's not reflected in the ERA. That's something that has to be better. You cannot take the starting pitching off the hook. Going to step away. Another update coming, because we love to bring you the updates. When we come back, one more segment of the Blue Jays talk. A 7-2 win over the New York Yankees. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Edwin, it's a high drive deep left field. Long high drive back for it. Soriano. He's at the wall, looks up, and there she goes.
Two-run homer for Edwin Encarnacion. A majestic shot to left field. His 34th home run of the year gives him 99 runs batted in, and I know RBIs are team stat, and they're not necessarily player-driven, and only 34 of his RBIs are his responsibility, but getting to 100 RBIs is still kind of cool. And he needs one to do that. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. One more segment. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Brian is in Mitchell, listening on XM Radio. Where's Mitchell, Brian?
About 20 minutes west of Stratford.
Very
nice. 2.5 hours from Toronto.
Justin Bieber land.
God, no.
You
Hell
must
no.
be
God,
so
sorry.
Proud.
No.
Oh, come on. Now, Paul Simon was here the other day. He went to a Justin Bieber concert.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I have never listened to a Justin Bieber song if I could.
You're a Carly Rae Jepsen man. I know it.
No.
What's up, Brian?
I was listening to your show yesterday. I didn't get a chance to hear all of it. I wanted to get your opinion on the fact that Anthopoulos basically saying Gibbons is going to be back for next year.
Yep.
And before that, and the bombshell has basically dropped, and your own colleague, Dirk Hayhurst, had written in his column
yep.
that Gibbons really should have been the fall guy, and he almost looked like he was the afterthought manager.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of want to find out, or I want to get your opinion on the fact that if Gibbons really was the afterthought manager, could they have tried to get someone that could have commanded a little bit more respect? He was basically handed a $120 million baseball club and told to go win.
Yep.
But he really had no say on it. And I'm just wondering,
what do you
there
mean
were some
had
other
no
managers that
it?
Were out there, Terry Francona, Don Mattingly, that could have been signed. Look at what they've done with their ball club. I haven't checked on Terry Francona.
Well, but look at what Terry Francona was before the Boston Red Sox hired him.
I'm not 100% sure where he was, actually.
Pardon?
I'm not sure where he was before that, actually.
He was with the Phillies, and he was terrible. Look at what Joe Torre was before the Yankees hired him. People conveniently forget that. And I'll tell you, Terry Francona managed 4 years with the Philadelphia Phillies and never even had an 80-win season, never mind a 500 season. He comes to Boston, wins a World Series in his first year. It's the players. It's not the manager. It's you got to have the players if you're going to do it. And the thing with Gibbons is, first of all, I dismiss the initial thought that he was an afterthought manager because he was someone that Alex Anthopoulos knew and respected. And, I was there at the general manager's meetings in Palm Springs in November just before Alex made the hire, before he had the meeting with Gibby. It wasn't really an interview. It was more, do you want the job? But all the things that Alex was talking about and what he wanted in a manager were describing John Gibbons. Everything he was talking about, someone who'd done it before in the major leagues, someone who's familiar with the league, someone who knew how to work a bullpen, a good tactician, didn't put up with any crap. That's John Gibbons. And we were kind of trying to figure out, well, is he talking about, could it be Don Wakamatsu? He's been a manager before. Could it be, I can't remember.
Actually, before Gibbons was hired,
yeah.
That was, actually, if I was a betting man, that's probably who I would have.
And that's who I would have thought.
Wakamatsu because,
yeah.
Although Wakamatsu really hadn't fared that well out in Seattle,
uh-huh.
And he did have a chance to learn under Cito Gaston, who looked like he was actually doing a fantastic job. He
what?
Did a great job back when the Jays won the World Series in 92-93.
Yeah, but not this time around he didn't.
The second time, no, he didn't.
Anyway, that's debatable anyway. But I think, Brian, that you're putting way too much stock in a manager and what effect they can have. I mean, if that was true, how did the Blue Jays lose 89 games last year, and how are the Boston Red Sox in first place right now with the same manager?
I almost wonder if it has to be a manager that wants to be there. I said Farrell wanted to go to Toronto or wanted to go to Boston.
That's very convenient to your argument, I have to tell you. The truth of the matter is, I absolutely, as soon as John Gibbons was hired, I and several of the people I respect a lot who cover baseball in the city thought, you know what, there's a great hire, and that's the guy, and that's going to work out really well. It obviously hasn't worked out really well this year, but the things that John Gibbons is able to control, John Gibbons has done a wonderful job of controlling. The things that are out of his control are out of his control. You know,
when he was handed the team, though, there were the trade with the Marlins and the trade with the Mets had already been made.
Uh-huh.
He almost looked like he was the manager brought in after the fact.
But what's the difference? The manager has nothing to do with player acquisition. Why does that make a difference at all?
But if Gibbons and Anthopoulos have, if they're talking routinely back and forth, then the manager is the guy sitting in the dugout with the team. He's
right,
the guy
right.
who is communicating with the coaches. He's the guy who's having a chance to watch all the players.
Right.
And I'm sorry, any general manager would obviously be having regular conversations with his manager going, okay, on the field, what are you seeing? Where can you see us improve? What do you think needs to be done? And this is where I honestly think that Gibbons, he had absolutely no say on this. And that's why I call him the afterthought, because he was handed the team. He did not have his fingerprints on it. And, yes, going forward next year, I've had a chance to listen to a lot of the calls. I do agree starting pitching does need to be improved. God, I hope that Joe Johnson does not come back. I hope they don't even give him a qualifying offer.
They won't. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But, Brian, here's what I'll say, and I'm going to wrap it up because I want to get some more calls. But, again, I really think you think a manager has way more impact on a lot of stuff than he actually does. Sure, a general manager is going to say, what you see and how, but it's not the manager is not the one who's educating the GM about what's going on the field. The GM sees what he sees. He talks to the manager about it. They may agree. They may disagree, whatever. And a manager will have some input. But the final call is the general manager's. And if a manager comes to a GM and says, get this guy out of here, I don't want him around anymore, the GM will very often say, you know what, too bad. You figure out a way to get the best out of him, and you figure out the right spots to use him. But that's a good player, and that's someone who's performed, and he's sticking around. So I think, very honestly, you're putting way too much on that manager's plate. It's not a partnership. It's really not. The GM is the manager's boss, and the GM is the guy who puts the team together. Before we get to the next call, let's listen to the manager. We've got some of John Gibbons' post-game scrum today in the wake of the Blue Jays' 7-2 win over the Yankees.
That was huge. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of that this year. I mean, you guys have been watching. I mean, we haven't had a lot of those. Was it the first?
Maybe.
Goins got out at a nice depth. And he was alert. Not knowing whether they're going to send him or not. You come out and anticipate that, and he's got the arm to do it. The kid, he's playing great. All areas of the ball, both sides of the ball. Excuse me.
What is it about him that really has impressed you in these six games?
Well, I mean, you name defense, offense, and he's in tune with things. He doesn't look in awe.
Todd Redman gave you another 5 2/3 solid innings. It seems to be the way Todd goes, anyway.
Yeah, and I was getting a little nervous there. You can call that panic or tight ass, whatever you want to call it. But we got that pen going early because back to back walks and then the hit. We got a nice lead, but there's still no outs there. But he finished very strong, so that was big. And then, of course, the rest of the bullpen did a nice job, as pretty much normal.
Gibby, are you getting a little more consistency from Ghost in center field? A nice play, the diving catch, the play on the relay. It seems like he's a little more alert out there and making some plays.
Well, the big thing, too, on that relay, he got there backing up. That's part of your job, but you don't see it all the time. He can flat out play center field with anybody. And, he's like anybody else. He was here last year, but he's still feeling his way around, trying to establish himself, and he's doing some nice jobs for us. Executed a nice hit and run, tried to steal a base, but you don't care how fast you are, if they go to that slide step, you got a catcher can throw a little bit, they're going to get everybody. So, he's doing a nice job as well. All the young kids really have, and this is their opportunity. They bring a lot of energy to the field, a lot of intensity, and it's fun to watch them play.
It's easy to say this on
games when you win, and you know, so many plays are important. But you know, when you look at this team, you know, going forward, would you, can you, and would you trade a bit of offense to get a bit more defense on the field?
Well, I mean, defense kind of goes hand in hand with that pitching that we always talk about. I don't know. You know, in our division, but in pretty much American League, I mean, you got to slug it out too. You know, unless your pitch starting pitching is so good, you know, you got to have, you know, five guys are shut down type guys, four of them anyway. You know, where defense, you know, they're not going to give it much regardless. You know, bump every now and then, but you still need a hit in this league. But you can get both. I mean, you can get a little bit of both.
John Gibbons talking about tonight's win, and when he said, is that the first, he, I believe, meant first runner thrown out at the plate by the Blue Jays this season. Anthony Ghost to Ryan Goins to J.Pierre Encibia to nail Alex Rodriguez in the top of the fourth. Jays beat the Yankees 7-2. Got time for a couple more callers. Let's go out to Moncton, New Brunswick. Randall's listening on News 91.9. Hello, Randall.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Former broadcaster for the Hardware City Rocket.
You know it.
Back in the day.
That's right.
Anyways, what's available for, well, they need a third, obviously we talked about Josh Johnson, ad nauseum, so they need a third starter, a second baseman, and a left fielder. What's out there for free agent guys or people you can sign or something?
Well, free agent guys are definitely people you can sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think there's anyone you can sign who isn't a free agent guy.
But well, Robinson Cano is probably going to L.A.
Yeah, so or the Yankees. I can't imagine he goes anywhere but New York or L.A.,
right.
Really.
So what's out there for second for infielder, at least? Because, I'm kind of going over old ground now because,
all right, well, then let me just answer the question. Right. How about that? I'll just answer your question instead of you starting all over again.
Right.
Robinson Cano, we know, is out there as a second base, a free agent at second. Omar Infante and Kelly Johnson are both out there as free agent second baseman.
Want to play Kelly Johnson again?
Well, you know what? There's somebody who called the other day who said they'd love to have him back. He has actually played about the same with Tampa, but he's cut down the strikeouts quite a bit. That's really about it on the free agent market. If you want to go huge glove up the middle, there's Brendan Ryan, who's a free agent. But that's about it. So I think that really it's going to be the trade route or give Ryan Goins a shot, bat him ninth, see what happens as far as that's concerned.
Don't mind that. I didn't have a real problem with John Gibbons being, I mean, what can John Gibbons do about a 5'10 ERA
yep.
for a starting staff? Take him
go.
Out in the third pitch of the game? You
That's
know,
right.
There's not a lot you can do about a 5'10 starting ERA. I don't expect that next year, but they do need to shore up A, pitching, and B, their up-the-middle defense. Outside of that, I mean, I you know, it's not really
you,
a
you can improve left field quite a bit,
to
too, right?
Hmm?
You can improve left field quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, right. So, I mean, you know, you're looking at three positions. You're looking at second base. You're looking at left field, and you're looking at a third starter. And I mean, there are things that Ari Dickey's been off and on, but lately he's actually improved as the year's gone on. And Burley's been good. And you need a third starter, a second baseman, and a left fielder. I mean, those are your three positions. And I know their payroll isn't going to go down, but they gotta. You know, those are the three areas they improve on. If they improve on that, I think this team could improve quite a bit. I'm
Thank
not
you, Randall.
As pessimistic as some.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I appreciate the call. If you go in with Dickey and Burley as your 1-2 next year, I think you've got some issues. So I think they need more than a third starter. But Brandon Morrow healthy gives you a guy who could be top of the rotation. Let's sneak in one more. Rose is in Cambridge. Welcome to the program, Rose.
Hi. Hi, Mike. I just want to say a few points here. In past years, I stopped watching the Jays in July because they're out of it, and they're just not very interesting. But this year, I'm watching. These new players are really worth watching. And the highlight for me is R.A. Dickey. He's a good pitcher and very interesting to watch. It's unique. I've never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it very entertaining. I'll miss everybody else's game, but I can't miss his. And I like his intelligence. I like the way he works with Josh Tolley. I think Josh Tolley is interesting, too. So kudos for Alex for bringing in some interesting players, and Jose Reyes is just fantastic.
Yes, he is.
You know, it's too bad he missed 2 months, but it's just been one of those years, you know, where it just went so bad early. But I really think these players are very interesting to watch, and they're different from the past years. And no wonder people are filling the stadium, you know. They're an interesting group, and I feel next year I'll be watching again every game, but I'm hoping for better. But I think they're a very good group.
Thank you, Rose. Appreciate that call. I personally think the Blue Jays have been a really interesting team for a long time now. There's always been a lot to keep people interested, I have thought, no matter how they've been performing lately. Thanks to everyone for calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We will do this again on Friday night. The Blue Jays open up a 3-game set with the Kansas City Royals. Mark Burley against Irvin Santana. We're on the air at 7 Eastern time, a 7:07 first pitch. Thanks to Tom Young. Thanks to Brett Armstrong, Gord Brunt. Good night, everybody.